Praise the Lord.
Praise
so stand, if you will. Happy to be out tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Such a privilege. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we deem it such a great privilege, Lord, once again. Lord, where else would we want to be tonight, Lord, than in your presence, Lord? Lord, every day we're in your presence, Lord, but to come and worship you with like precious saints, of like precious faith, Lord, and to hear thy precious word, Lord, that lets us grow a step each and every day. Lord, what a precious desire that is in this day and age, Lord, and we're so thankful for it. Lord, we just ask you to bless everything that's said and done this night. Let it be for your glory and your honor. And we'll give you all the praise due unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Like the 229, and I only believe, I think I got it. My God is real.
Amen.
Amen. There. Amen. There are some. Amen. Just can't seem to get that for some reason. Ever said, oh, you know that song?
Of course, it helps a lot.
Okay. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole.
Yeah.
for me is like pure gold. Amen. So precious. Amen. Like pages 592, and I only believe. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am. Says it all. Amen. Praise and honor. 254, only believe. I'll try this song again. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Amen. Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for us who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful Star it will give out. Sellers, would you take up the offering this evening?
Amen.
Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative Amen. For that star, oh God. Father, that lights our paths, lets us walk, Lord, and be able to see where we place yes. our feet. Father, that revelation you put in our hearts. So thank you, Lord. Lord, just continue. That revelation may grow greater and greater in our hearts.
Yes.
Lord, as we come to this part of the service asking that you would just bless it. Father, as we take this money up, Father, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, Lord, may you just bless it to every need. May it just be enough, Father. Father, we pray. Bless us now. Keep us in thy will. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Amen. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, amen. Oh, come and go with me. Keep it before him as we keep it, take it before him in prayer. Brother Finley, would you like to take the request?
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Even another privilege, Lord, be able to come into the house, sing these wonderful songs, Lord, praising you, glorifying you. Lord, Amen. We just ask for you to reach down each tonight in each heart, raise their hands for a prayer request, Lord. Just guide us, Lord, keep us in your will.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Anybody got a song they want to sing? Special? Anybody at all got a song in their heart? I'm going to start calling on you more, so you might as well come up with some songs here. Amen. Anything at all? Or we can wait till you have one. Amen. Surely somebody's got a song in their heart. Brother Clayton.
Can we sing 277?
277, only believe. Amen. I'm slow getting the pages here. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each Thankful for the sweet Holy Spirit. Don't ever take it for granted, saints, what we have. Our brothers and sisters. You know the alternative. We love each other. Hold each other up. Always. Amen. And Lord willing, I would like to start on Thursday nights asking if any of you have anything on your heart to sing. If that's all right. Involve the congregation a little more. Sing what's on your heart. Lord willing. Amen. As we ask our brother to come, let's sing out again. Sweet Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, sweet Holy Spirit.
days. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us. Yes, Lord. Amen. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Amen. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't He sweet? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once more we have come, and Lord, with great expectations, Lord, of Your precious word, that, Lord, You would speak to us, and Lord, that we know that You're here to meet with us, Lord, and to give us our portion this evening. And Lord, though it's words we've heard many times, Lord, and maybe scriptures and quotes we've read many times, but Lord, may it mean something new to us this evening. Lord, may we strike a new chord, Lord, or find something. Lord, only You know why You lay these things upon our hearts to read. Yes, and Lord, we're just here to be mouthpieces, Lord, and to speak what You give us. And Lord, we leave the rest up to You. And Father, we just thank You for all that You've done and are doing. And Lord, in this late hour in which we live, Lord, let us continue to give You our all, Lord. May we continue to yield that, Lord, we'd be exactly what You want us to be. And we ask it all to Your glory and to Your honor. In the precious, lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Yes. Don't you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. Happy to be out again.
Yes.
Amen. While you're standing, I'm going to turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter, if you would. Read another very familiar scripture, a little text, stirring up your minds by way of remembrance this evening.
Yes.
Praying that something will be said to encourage or help each one of us along the way.
Yes.
Amen. We see God is truly drawing, wooing us. So we hear the sobering messages like we heard this morning, and how we ought to give all the more to make sure we know exactly. Amen. Romans 8 and the 11th verse. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And let's go ahead and read that 28th verse while you're standing, or 29th. For we know, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord bless the reading of His word, and you may be seated. If that same Spirit dwells in us,
amen.
Amen. And how sobering it is, and how we've not been left without a witness. As we've come to this part of the road, as we're traveling life's journey, and how God has so graciously given us directions and showed us. But I want to just stir up your mind this evening, some of the things the prophet said, and kind of draw our attention back to it's the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ being us. Amen. It ain't a different Spirit. It's the same. Amen. Here in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, very familiar quote. This was preached July 28, 1963. And just down at the bottom of page 21, paragraph 145, at the bottom of page 23, paragraph 160, God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the complete fullness of Godhead bodily dwells in His church. The preeminences. All that God was, He poured into Christ. Amen. And you stop and think about that for a moment. Amen. And all that Christ was poured into the church. Not a building, but a people, a called out people, a people that was predestinated to be conformed to His image. It was poured into the church, the believers. And how each one of us, our brother this morning was bringing, we're standing at that time where we've got to know. We've got to have that assurance burning down in our hearts. That we know where we're standing. We know where we're going.
Amen.
Death doesn't change a man, as we've been taught. What we are today is what will be tomorrow if the Lord was to call us home.
Yes,
and it doesn't matter. Every day that we live, we're living our testimony.
Yes,
as you read in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapters, it talked about Cain and about Abel. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And though he was dead and slain, yet his testimony lived on that he was righteous.
Amen.
And how that ought to be the result of the Spirit, the same Spirit living in us. It should be bearing out a testimony, carrying forth a reality that there's a living Christ today. Yes, we're in human bodies and we're going to make mistakes, but the body will be changing, coming subject to every word. As we hear the word, we will become the word.
Yes.
We won't be forgetful hearers if the same Spirit's in us. For that was how God predestinated it. He said, as you hear the word, you'd become the word. You eat it, and you become it. And how we can see that taking place. But also here in the message, Perfect Faith. This was preached August 25th, 1963. And this is on page 12. He's speaking about Jesus just for a moment here. Paragraph 70. Knowing who he was, without a shadow of a doubt, he knew he was the Son of God, and he knew it.
Yes.
For how? The Word identified him.
Yes.
The Word of God identified who he was. And he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I don't do them works, don't believe me. But if I do, then believe the works, for they are manifested, word promised.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you could just wake up to that and get it, you see. The Word itself identified him, who he was. And he said, who can condemn me of sin? In other words, who can show me that my life and my works don't fulfill exactly what the Messiah should do? Nobody could say nothing, for he was. And that he had faith to believe then whatever he said, it would happen. Think of Enoch. He had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. And how this has got to become a reality in our life, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that this word is identifying where I'm standing tonight. As he goes on here, he says, then he turned and said, the works that I do, shall you do also? A little while in the world seeth me no more. Yet you shall, because I'll be with you, even in you. Take no thought what you shall say, for it's not you that speak. It's thy Father that dwelleth in you. He's the one who does the speaking. It's not me. Doesn't that go right with the scriptures?
Yes.
That no man can bridle his tongue? But the Holy Spirit alone can bring it into where it belongs. Look at all the scriptures that's laying out there. That truly shows if that Spirit is laying down inside of us, what it will do to this body. You think Christ, look at our Christ as our example. On the cross, being beaten and stoned and thorns, no complaints. No complaining, no murmuring. He bore it all without a word. How that same Spirit in us, with control, we become prisoners. We don't just speak and just fly off the handle when we want to. And how it's got to come that everything we say would be Christ-like. Every word. You know, we make mistakes. And we may see where we've fallen short. But that's why God has given us the grace and that precious blood. To place it under that blood and to press on. And the Lord to overcome and see that thing never again in my life. Amen. And is it you that's doing it? No. With the same Spirit. Where'd that Spirit come from? Jesus Christ himself. Amen. He says, take no thought what you shall say, for it's not you that speak, it's the Father that dwelleth in you. He's the one that does the speaking. It's not me, it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work. See what I mean? Now the identification of a scripture Christian. These words, said Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now how can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny those words? And anything we fail to come subject to, anything we feel is not necessary, we're denying it. It doesn't have to be a mystery. It doesn't have to be some great big revelation. Just if I'm a wife and I say, I'm not coming under subjection to my husband, I've denied one word. If I'm a husband that refuses to love my wife, I've denied one word. If I won't raise my children the way that I should raise them, I've denied one word. Maybe I'm a young lady and I don't want to dress the way that God has showed me to dress. I've denied a word. Might be a young man that I don't want to come under subjection to the word. I want the worldly things more than the things of God. I'm denying that word. But oh, there comes a time. If that same Spirit dwells in you, It will bring this body subject to the word. Amen. These signs shall follow them. How can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny those words? How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? See, you can't do it. You're not a believer. Therefore, signs can't follow you because you just can't accept. You want to believe and let the rest of it. You won't. Don't believe it. But you've got to take the whole thing and believe it. And when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, then these signs shall follow them that believe. And oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost to do it, just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night, a prisoner to the word and will of God. He couldn't move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going back. It's going back. It's got to come. That's right. It's on the road now, I believe, for the word identified himself what he was. And that same word identifies us. And we sit here as a small body of believers in this gathered in this little building. But God's got bride all over this earth. And God's getting a people ready. There's going to be a rapture. There is going to be a catching away. And nowhere did you ever see where it said somebody from this building had to be in that rapture. Make your own calling and election sure. God placed fivefold ministry here for us. And he's provided his word for us. But what are we doing with it? There's fivefold ministry throughout this land, and I am sure that everywhere there are some people sitting that's hearing that word, and they're turning a blank ear to it, just like he talked about the duck this morning. It's happening all over the land. Why? Because God predestinated a chosen few. And it's search out the scriptures and make your own calling election sure. Search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's where each one of us has fallen into tonight. It's come down to an individual affair. We gather here as a group, and I pray every one of us makes it in. But it's got to come down to an individual affair. Maybe my daddy won't go. Maybe my mommy won't go. Maybe my sister, my daughter, my brother. Maybe they don't go, but am I going to make it? It's got to be that personal revelation to you that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. It will bring me subject to this full word all the way down the line. There will be nothing left out, no pieces left undone. And the identification of the scriptures will truly identify who I am. Amen. Let's turn over here to the book of Acts. Read a very familiar portion of scripture. Amen. Just thinking about these things. Amen. It's always good to go back and read what God done. Amen. And see the reaction in of what truly took place. Acts, the second chapter, and we'll just start here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Why? Obedience to God. He told them, go there and tarry, and you wait till you be endued with power from on high. And in obedience, they went and they waited. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled a mushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm going to drop down now to the 12th verse just to skip some of this. And it says, and the people were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They was hearing them speak in their other own languages. And he says, and others mock, these men are full of new wine. But now I want you to think of this, Peter. This is an example here. How just days before he denied knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. His reaction when they come to take the Lord into custody, so to speak, was to draw out his sword and cut off an ear. His way of thinking was like a man. And he was scared to stand up, but he was just walking with Jesus at that point. He was just walking along with the word. Amen. But oh my, what had happened here? He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That same Jesus that he walked with was now housed and dwelled within him. Amen. Amen. That Holy Spirit had taken place, erected that little seed that was predestinated laying there before the foundation of the world. And then watch the expression here. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, amen, think of this, how God, don't take no thought what you shall say. Look at the scripture just come right alive here as Peter begins to speak. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now what did Jesus say? Through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls would be saved. Yes, so I want you to look at this. What's happening here? Peter's preaching a sermon. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he's laying it out. He's laying it right out to him. And there's many gathered around listening. But whom God had raised up and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. And moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. That shall make full of the joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. Amen. I'm sure Peter was feeling pretty good at this point. He was wound up now. Amen. He knew God was anointing him to speak to it. And that's what you got to see. This was just a sermon, just like we come in here and hear. This is God had a purpose and a place for everyone. And when we come in here, it's not by chance we gather here, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here speaking to our hearts. And it's calling out that a little elected bride. There is a reason that we gather. There's a reason that the word is preached. Amen. And watch as this goes on and fulfills. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God and exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed for this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Amen. Just like we are when we sit here and the word comes and there's that little something down on the inside. They were pricked in their hearts, just a few of them. Amen. Peter said, and the rest of the men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unward generation. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Amen. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And watch this next verse. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. Amen. They took heed to what they heard, and it made a change in their life. It brought about a vindication that there is something that got a hold of them. The same difference that they could see in Peter when he come down out of that upper room. It made a change. It made a reality. It made the word more important to them than anything else around them. It took away all their frustrations and their thoughts of what they had had. And you'll remember, we had read there last Sunday evening, I believe it was, that God takes his man or representative, so to speak, but he never takes his spirit. And how we can see that down through the land, and Satan the same. And how you can see that if you look back into the scriptures, you can see it start in Genesis with Cain and Abel. Follow them spirits right up through, and you can look at them in the land today. And you can see God, men, with the Spirit of God living through them, and you can see all the devil's got going on. You see it taking place. But we're talking about, we're to have the same Spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead. Why? Because he predestinated a people to be here. And he said, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He's going to do the work. But he needs a yielded vessel. And as long as we want to be stubborn, as long as we want to try to stand in the way, it's never going to work. You've got to commit wholly unto him. Humbly, Lord, I without you, I can do nothing. We must see that with the reality. But when that Spirit is in us, it will bring this body under subjection. It will make every word line up 100% just the way God said it would be. And we must see that. God didn't leave us without a witness, and he made sure that we understood. And you say, well, Peter was a great apostle. That's why we saw it in him. Paul was a great prophet. We saw it in him. Brother Brandon was a great prophet. That's why God lived like he did in him. What about the little washerwoman? What about the little woman at the well that her life was changed forever? What about all these others that weren't ministers? What about the lady that knelt down and washed his feet with her tears and dried it with her hair? All these people that the Spirit of God was in, moved in. How their lives was forever changed. Look at the examples back through the prophet's lifetime of the people. The little lady that had the son that was dying, and she was standing by the gate because in a dream God showed her that brother Branham would be passing by. Look at all of the examples. The little woman that was sitting in the balcony, and it was moved on her heart to go pray for that little sick baby. And she got up and she went down there and she prayed for that little baby. And then God identified that he had healed that baby. He hears a prayer. It don't matter how big or how little. God's got representatives everywhere that he's proven that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to prove that this word that we read, there will be written epistles read of all men. They won't have to say a word. They won't have to tell anybody, I believe this, I believe that. But their life is going to be a bearing out of testimony that Jesus Christ is alive and living in them. Amen. Amen. Hearing the message, who is this Melchizedek? Very familiar. This quote. Amen. Probably heard it a lot. I know we've heard it a lot, but let's read it again. Amen. Here on page 14, this was preached in 65. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin, he cannot sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is sin? Unbelief. There's no more unbelief if his Spirit is indwelling in us. Why? Because he can't unbelieve his own word. Yeah. Amen. You don't say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could, oh, just get in Christ, it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They're dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you're a new creation in Christ. Your body becoming subject to that Spirit to try to live the right kind of life. And it's like, in the natural, that Spirit in you may love to go to ball games, race car events. It may love all of these things of the world. Really, truly love it. Not just something you like, but it's just right. That's all you can think about. That's all that's driving you all the time. But let this Holy Spirit come in there and watch it change all of them. Might have been a person, we might be a person that think, oh, I got to see what I can achieve. How much money can I get in the bank? How rich can I be? What stature I can climb to in a position and be this or that in the world? Maybe I want to be president and, oh, I'm striving for that, to use as an example. But let Jesus Christ take over the control seat of that heart and you watch all that's down here lose its value. Yes, we have homes and we treat it as such. We take care of what God's given us. We have cars and we maintain it. We have clothing and we take care and do all we can to keep what God's given us. But our focus is not down here on what I have. Amen. My life's not here to try to fit in and to look like the rest of the world. I'm not here to try to prove to them that I'm just as good as they are. I have something better than they do. But I'm here for one purpose, that Jesus Christ can be manifested in this life, truly live out through us. In an example in everything we do. From business to every way I live my everyday life, everything I do, it'd be Jesus Christ in control. Jesus Christ represented in his life being lived back forth, yes. Showing that he's alive. He says here, Just get in Christ. It's all gone, see? Because they're dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. You're a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit. Try to live the right kind of life. Like you women claiming you got the Holy Ghost, going out here wearing shorts and things. How could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit is trying to show us. It's not written out there, but every action in our life, as we've already mentioned, is if it's a wife being under subjection to her husband. If I'm not that, then that spirit can't be in me. And that's if I'm a husband, it's that spirit can't be in me. That's what we've got to come to a reality, that God's word means exactly what he said. That's our identification. If we can't see the identification, we have no assurance. We have no authority to know that, oh, I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to walk on streets of gold. We don't have that. We have a hope. But the scriptures are identifying us. That's why it was given here. That's why this word was placed here. And each time we come in, we measure up and we're looking, seeking. For each one of us, we're looking at ourselves. Lord, where do I line up on this great measuring stick? That's what we're looking for. Amen. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. Then when you become subject to that spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that spirit. And that spirit is nothing in the world but the seed word made manifest or quickened. Hallelujah. Made alive. And the Bible said, don't do this. That body quickly turns to it. There is no question. What is it? It is the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin, mire, and corruption. But now it's got the earnest and it's turned heavenly. And that earnest is that you're going in the rapture. And there's people that's seeing that in their life. All across this land, there's little bride, and they're starting to see that true earnest in their life. They're seeing that identification. But the question is, am I seeing it in my life? Are you seeing it in your life? Can you truly lay down at night and be honest with yourself and say, Lord, I see it truly shaping me right into that I need to be? Or in the back of our mind, do we know, Lord, I really haven't yielded this to you. I really haven't given that to you, Lord, and it's really not lining up. I'm really not identified there. We know it's an individual affair, and God knows our hearts just the same as we do. But amen, there should be a confidence coming into our hearts and into our lives that's showing that we know. Amen. But there is a people that's become a true Christian. There's people that's true representatives. And I pray that each one of us are finding ourselves in that number. But we've got to be honest. This is the time to be honest and sincere with ourselves. Lord, don't let me miss it. Now's the time. And maybe I haven't even took the first step of truly repenting, of being baptized and giving God a chance to fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now's the time. Run while there's time. While that sweet, sweet spirit is still here. While there's mercy is still calling. And there's something still pulling on your heart and the word is going forth. Yield to that call now while there's yet time. Don't matter our ages, may we truly run like we never have before. Amen. Amen. Let's see here. Amen. This is in the message. God's provided way for this day. Preached February 6, 1964. And he was talking about hybrid plants, but I just want to catch this little piece he said at the end. This is on page 4, paragraph 21. It's got even to the place they're trying to hybrid churches today, from the real baptism of the Holy Ghost to a handshake of some kind, sprinkling to a water baptism. Oh my, the whole thing is hybrid. And we want to get back. A hybrid plant, you don't have to baby it and spray it and keep the bugs and beetles off of it, but not a genuine healthy plant. He is sturdy, strong, and don't know bugs come on him. He has got enough in him to throw the bug off. And so is a genuine Christian. You don't have to baby him and pat him and tell him this, that, or the other. He has got something in him, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that throws all the rest of it off. You don't have to beg him around. You don't have to beg us to come to church. You don't have to beg us to obey our husbands. You don't have to obey husbands to love their wives. You don't have to beg a true Christian. The word comes, he hears the word throws the body under subjection and it takes place. That's happening in some people's lives. Is it happening in mine? Am I seeing that result in me? That's the question. Because tonight might be our last night on this earth. This might be the last time we gather. We don't know. But God is calling a people. We know this world's fixing to crumble. It can't continue on in the shape it's in. We know that California is going to slide into the ocean as sure as the world. Amen. We know it's going to happen. Amen. He's got something in him, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that throws all the rest of it off. You don't have to beg him around because he's a genuine plan of God. He has got it, something in him that wars. A Christian fights for every inch of ground he stands on. He must do that if he ever expects to exist. And by doing it, there's something in it that takes care of him. Amen. And how that precious Holy Spirit will take care of every situation. It'll hold us through every storm. Amen. Hallelujah. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This is in the message, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Read this in closing. He said, Brother Branham, talking about a little example here, paragraph 72, page 11. Reminds me I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and there might be some of my fine Arkansas friends here. One night at the Robinson Memorial Auditorium, there was a beggar set out on the street that had crutches, and he sold pencils, and he got healed. And the next day, walking around with the crutches on his shoulder, testifying, he was up in the third balcony. He was just taking the whole floor up there. And we couldn't hardly preach because of the noise. And he was shouting and carrying on, been all up and down the streets in every business place testifying. Sitting on the corner, he was called out in the audience, and the Lord Jesus made him well. Oh my, why, he was something. Set him on fire. Amen. And how it ought to be with us, how the Holy Spirit ought to set us on fire to see this work finished. Amen. And he said, so I want to ask you a question, Brother Brandon. He said, what is it, sir? He said, you know, he was a Nazarene. And he said, I heard you preaching, and I thought you were a Nazarene. He said, I seen so many Pentecostals around, and somebody told me you was a Pentecostal. He said, then I heard somebody said that you belonged to the Missionary Baptist Church. What about this? I said, it's all true. I'm a Pentecostal Nazarene Baptist. So that's it, see? We're born of the Spirit of God. Then we're brothers and sisters in Christ. These brands don't mean nothing. I used to herd cattle up there where I worked on a ranch up in Colorado. And the Hereford Association grazes the valley there in that troublesome river. And we got a drift fence and where the herders put their cattle up. And the ranger stands there counting those cattle as they go through. And I've stood there many a times with my leg over the horn of a saddle watching the rangers. And there are all kind of brands goes through there. And every brand on the valley goes through. The ranger wasn't noticing the brands, but he was watching for the blood tag. Now, that blood tag meant that it had to be a thoroughbred Hereford, or it could not graze on that from that valley, and it could not go through without a blood tag. And I thought one day, sitting there, I got to shouting, and I said, you know, that's the way it's going to be at judgment. He ain't going to notice what brand they got, but whether we got the blood tag, that's the thing. When he sees the blood, we can go in, that's all, see? And our brands will all long be forgotten at that time, that's right? And I'm glad of that, it's true. Because if we can now see he identified himself yesterday, then we know what he would do today, because he would identify himself the same today that he was yesterday. Is that true? Yes. And how that's going to matter. It doesn't matter what our name is. It don't matter what my standing in this life is. It don't matter how much money I've got, how much wealth of this world I can accumulate. But God's looking for one thing, that token to be on display. Amen. That life of Jesus Christ, evidence. Hallelujah. That I was predestinated to be conformed to his image. And that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in this body. Amen. Oh, saints, may we truly press like we never have before and truly keep our eyes turned towards him and let the things of this world grow strangely dim. Amen. May we truly press, for saints, we're climbing that last ladder home. It won't be long, but we've got to make sure, and this is the time. Don't lag behind and don't let things of this world catch our attention and hold us earthbound. But let's give it our all to Jesus Christ and let him have his way in our life. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. A lot of reading there, but I pray there was something that you could think about a little greater. Maybe dwell on. Amen. God's word is so inspired when you begin to read it and study it. And you read it with a scripture over here and you read the same quote. It takes on a whole new light. It can just go so many directions. But God knows what we need. Amen. And I'm just so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen. 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 There's a little song on my heart we ain't sang in a while. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me. Amen. Let's sing that as our brother comes. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and just what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus.
greatness of Jesus and just what he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Amen. Amen to that precious word of God. My, I tell you, it's so good when you see by grace that you fit in. Oh, my. And what it still does, it just keeps you wanting to get closer to the Lord, more dedicated, surrender more to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can have that greater preeminence in our lives. Oh, I'm looking forward to the appearing of the Lord. Are you? Amen. Are you loving the appearing of the Lord? Or is it, well, I'm just a little bit scared, you know. Well, he can remove all that fear. And he can put a peace down in your heart. Amen. A joy. Yes, an assurance. Everything that you need, he's the one that can give it for you and to you. Amen. I'm thankful I could be here tonight. Brother Settles.
I'd like to give God the glory.
Amen.
An answered prayer. A friend of mine, Terry Shepherd, he's got ALS. Mm-hmm. And he's really doing good. And I thank the Lord for it.
Praise God.
And my prayer is that, you know, he'll accept Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
How he's standing, but he's definitely, you know, I can see the Lord has made it easier on him, and I just want to give God the glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful all he does for us. Amen. Just think where we'd be if it wasn't for what he done.
That's right.
Amen. What he still does and does every day for us. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you very much, Lord, for this day that you have given us. Lord, you've made it possible that we could have two services today, and Lord Jesus, that you could speak to our hearts through the way of the word. And I trust, Lord, that this day there'll be another landmark placed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that, Lord Jesus, it'll be things that's not forgotten, but, Lord, we'll be able to meditate upon and pray about and seek you, Lord. Father, I trust it will be the desire of every heart here to draw closer to you. Lord, you could have a complete control of the life and the thoughts and everything we do in this life. Lord Jesus, just bless us now. And thank you for what you've done for this little group. We appreciate it so very much. How you've watched over us, Lord, and you've kept your precious hand and upon us. How we're just so thankful for that. Just trust you continue, Lord, to bless us and keep the enemy away, and keep all deceit and deceiving all out of here, Lord Jesus, that you would have the preeminence. And Father, that we'd finish that last great work that you're looking forward to in our lives, and we'd yield to it. We ask it again now for your glory and praise, and thy will be done now in our lives, Lord. And if you should tarry till Thursday evening, and if we should live, if it be thy will, Lord, I pray that we'll come again with our hearts hungry. And, Lord, open that you could speak to our hearts and change our lives even greater and to the furtherment of the glory of God. We thank you now. In your holy, precious name we pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. You glad and happy?
Amen.
Are you thankful?
Sing
on one more chorus when we leave. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. God bless you. You're dismissed.